Hey everyone, welcome to Authenticated. I hope everyone's doing well. We're going to jump straight into it. We're going to look at John 6:51 this morning. And Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." All right, so he says, "I am..." And the word "I" there in Greek is ego. So I am the bread. So it's like the bread is sustenance. It is in the Greek it's sustenance, which is artos, but in the Hebrew it's lachem, and that is provision. Okay, so same thing, sustenance is provision. It'll sustain you, it'll feed you, it'll provide for you. So he says, "I am the bread," which is, or the living bread. I am the living bread, right? I am the living bread, and living is Zoe, and it means the gift, like God's gift of life. Well, life is a gift. Okay, so it's like I am the living bread. So he is, and then it says from heaven. So from heaven he's come down. Okay, the word heaven there is uranu, which literally means the sky. And it means like the heaven of the sky there. So it means... which literally means the universe. It does mean Uranus as well, which used to be a Greek mythology god who was married to Gaia, who is the Mother Earth, and they were warring, and his, like, their children were in her womb. And yeah, he kept the children in the womb of the mother, in the womb of Gaia. That's the Greek mythology. But no, nevertheless, the Uranus or Uranus is the Greek word for heaven. And it means, literally means the personification of the universe. So the whole universe inside of, personified. So heaven is the like heaven is the entire universe, but it's a personification, which means it's like it takes on the like that word actually makes it turn into the universe. Yeah, so I am the living bread that's come down, which means to descend, or it even means just to take one step. So it's like he stepped off his footstool, or like he comes off down in one step. So the I am is like the ego. Becomes an embodiment of the. Is just like the ego is sustained by the I didn't write it down. I usually write this down, but I'm not today because I just haven't. Okay, so I am the living bread. So the ego is like the embodiment of. The ego is like the embodiment of the of it as a gift of God. So like your life is a gift from God, and it's sustained by, and the bread is, so like your life as a gift of God is like bread. It's like sustenance. It's blessed really as well, like the lachem is like blessed bread in the with the Israelites, like they bless the bread, the leavened bread. So it's like the morsel, the bread that's like been made holy, okay? So it's been blessed and made holy, this special bread, in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, it's like Jesus is saying, I am a gift from God, and I am the sustenance. I am the bread, the provision. So if you eat from me, my life, really, you eat my words or live my life because I'm holy and I'm blessed, then you know, that's the you're eating from the personification of heaven, really. You're eating from the universe, or really you are eating from, you know, the universe, and you're a gift from God. And when you eat from that gift, when you eat from that people who are blessed and holy from God, whose bread, whose flesh, really, is from God. Then, you're really becoming like a manifestation of the universe as well. And that's what you'll be taught from, you know? You'll be taught from that higher realm, from the universe, from heaven, which is outside of space and time, which is the heaven, which is the sky, Uranus, okay? But he says he's brought it in, if anyone eats of this bread, so if anyone eats from him, he will live to the age, and the age is outside of space and time. So the age is space and time, so eternal or eternity. Okay, so if you eat from consecrate, like this bread that's a gift, it's a gift of life, and it has this provision, or this, it's a sustenance that feeds you from heaven, which is the sky, and that's going to put your your life, it's gonna, you know, you're gonna be a gift from God, because your life is gonna be food from heaven. Okay. And then he says, and that I will give, and this bread also I'm gonna give as my flesh. It's for the life of the world. So it's also this bread is for your life in the world, because the world, there is cosmos, which is an ordered system. Okay, so it's an ordered system, the way things are ordered. But also an ordered system is like when the soldier pierced, or it said pierced or striked with their spear the side of Jesus, right? So strike means to, it can be poke or pierce, or it can be struck with their spear, which spears and swords all represent their spirit and their words. So if you know, when the Romans or those who are antagonistic towards those who are blessed or the bread of life, their words are striking against Jesus himself, and therefore it's going to yield out of that out of that flesh, the water and the blood, and it's going to cause it to pour or flow onto those who are around, who those who's, you know, stroke him or strike us, for example. And when that happens, he could see, the soldier could see, all of a sudden it says that they called him a man immediately, so he got turned into a man. So prior to that, the word soldier there means to be like a host body to an angel, or even to a fallen angel, like an angel of an ordered system, which is talking about the universe, the cosmos, again. So it's like Jesus is this embodiment of this bread that comes from space. Uranus comes from the same place as these angels, but he has, like, he's coming as a gift to give us the knowledge of, not only the knowledge, but to give us the, to give us the sustenance, like to give us the spirit, to give us the understanding and the knowledge of that ordered system, so you can understand how it works, because we really don't know that there's angelics, angels, fallen angels inside of people that are antagonistic towards us, who want to strike us down with their words. They want to pierce us and kill us. Like, they wanted to make sure we were dead. That's what the soldier did to Jesus, pierced him against his side to make sure he was dead. He's already on a cross, and he's like, oh, you know, just let's make sure he's dead. So he pierced him in his side. And so he pierced him in his side, and the blood and water flowed on him. And then all of a sudden the Bible says that, and then the man, but before that scripture before that was the soldier, right? So the soldier was like a soldier of Satan, because it says that that word meant Stratius, which is a host of an angel, right? Because he was on the other side in terms of not believing that Jesus was this living bread. But once he pierced, once his words, you know, were, or once he used his spear, his spirit to kill Jesus, then Jesus flowed over him. And it says then the man became a witness for the truth, because he could see. So the blood and the water causes your eyes to open, and it's released from those, it's released from Jesus's, it's released from those who are the living bread. And I'll talk about it in a minute, but it's like those who understand that they are a gift from God, and they understand that their life is sustained by God. So that's the gift of life, and loving their, like, loving the gift of being given a gift of life. And the reason for it is, like, where this gift of, and it's because this sustenance of God, or this embodiment of God, he, the spirit gets to manifest itself through us. So, and the gift of God is to experience God. We get to experience God in our body. We get to experience God as a gift, because we're a gift of God. So we're the gift of God's inside of us, but we're a gift of God. So we get to experience the gift of God, which is the Spirit. We get to experience the Spirit. We get to experience this life. And because of that, knowing, because of that understanding of who you are, you become, your life becomes bread, it becomes sustenance, it provides provision, it feeds sustenance, it gives power to other people, it feeds them. Okay. And he says that that's the gift to the world, for those who don't understand there's an ordered system of the cosmos and that there are fallen angels operating as soldiers that do not want who prior to the blood and the water, you didn't know that you were a gift of God. You couldn't see it. So they were opposing that, antagonistic towards that. And he came to give us that embodiment of that teaching. Because heaven means embodiment of the heavens. He's the embodiment of heaven. That's what it means. The embodiment, or the personification of the universe. So the whole universe was wrapped up inside of him. And then as a gift to the world, as life for the world, because he is also, the heaven is also an ordered system. So he brings order, or the law, which is order. He brings the order of heaven here to this cosmos, to the world, and to bring life, to give us this gift of, so we can enjoy the gift of God, the life, the living gift of God, so we can enjoy our life because it's a gift from God. But when you're ruled over by soldiers that don't have, that aren't bred of the living, that don't realize that, then it's harsher because you're opposed and they don't let you be a gift from God. They don't want you to live your life and let the Spirit express themselves, like let the Spirit of God express itself through us and us to experience God. They oppose it. And, you know, just like they oppose Jesus because he said that. All right. Cool. So let's go to Isaiah 3 and we'll just get some readings done. So see now. See now. The Lord, I need my glasses. Where would they be located? Oh. Does anyone see my glasses? They're not it. Over here. How do you lose your glasses, eh? Jeez Louise. Do-do-do-do. Where would they be? Oh, they could be in there. Oh, they're not in there. Oh, well, I don't know. Oh, I know where they are. No, you need that. Alright. Oh, now it's in there. Oh. Sorry, guys. Alright. I'm going to wipe my glasses. Orca. Oh, don't you hate that? Your glasses are fogged up. All right. See now the Lord. The Lord Almighty is about to take from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, all supplies of food and all supplies of water. This doesn't sound like fun. For the Lord, behold, this is the Lord Adonai. Behold, he take the Lord of hosts, Yahweh. He takes away all the stock from Judah and Jerusalem, all the supply, the whole supply, the whole store of water, the whole supply of bread. See, that's at Lechem. Oh, wait, where it says, Lechem, 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 Boshkandoro. Ordinary food of the Hebrews. Just basics. the ordinary food. So the whole supply, he says, all right? He says, now, this is what he's going to do. Now see the Lord of heaven's army. So he's coming as a, he's, you know, like warring, right? And he's going to take it all away. Everything they depend on, it says, every bit of bread, every drop of water. Isaiah 3:2, and he's going to also take these away, he says, and the hero and the warrior and the judge and the prophet and the diviner and the elder. So he says he's he put them all in the same sentence there. He's going to take away the heroes, the soldiers, the judges, the prophets, the fortune tellers, which is the diviner, or soothsayer. But listen to this. In the King James Bible, instead of saying diviner, it's the prudent and the ancient. The captain of 50 and the man of rank, the counselor. See there? The diviner, the fortune teller is now called the counselor. That's the word they use. If I go in and have a look, Isaiah 3:3, he's going to take away the captain. He's going to take away the captain of 50, the honorable men, the skillful artisan, and the counselor. Okay, so the one that gives advice. Yep. Those who they get counsel from. The enchanter, which is the astrologer, who's a whisperer. Whisperers of prayer. And the experts of prayer. That's what that's called. The experts of prayer is the astrologers. That's what they're saying there. Experts of prayer are those who are astrologers. They're able to discern, it says, experts. They're able to discern astrology. That's what it says, Isaiah 3:3. They're the experts. He's taken them all away, he says. So obviously he's not mad at those people like some people think. He actually says they're taught from the heavens, Uranus. They're taught from the impersonification of heaven, because they understand that they are a gift from God, and all of their sustenance comes from God, from the universe, because he's the embodiment, the personification. He says, I come down from heaven, so I'm the personification of heaven. So now, and which means universe. Now that universe, when you're the gift of God, you've got the universe inside of you, so all of your needs are provided for. You're sustained completely because you have heaven inside of you. Not only that, you're also now outside of time and space, so you're eternal. So all of your wisdom and counsel and everything comes from the heavens, comes from Uranus. It comes from the outside of space and time. Your teaching comes from outside of space and time. Not inside of the cosmos. You bring the teaching from outside of space and time into the cosmos, into the world, to bring life to it. What's life? Sustenance, which is what? The teachings of heaven, which is where? In space, which is where? From the sky. True story. Isaiah 3:4 says this. I'm going to make mere youths their officials. Children are going to rule over them. I'll get that up, because it says, I will give to be their princes, children. Princes there means their chief rulers, officials. Okay, children are, it says here, those who are attendants, or a shaking, or the scattered ones, those who are scattered. Okay, they were scattered. From age of infancy to adolescence, implicate as a servant. Hang on, na'ah. Na'ah in Hebrew, it's to shake, or to shake out or off. It overthrows, or to shake free. Okay, or to stir up, or to boil in a violent commotion. To be very angry. to shake and to stir up and to be very violent in a violent commotion, to be very angry, to boil up, to shake them up, because it says in Nehemiah 5:13, to strip them of their possessions. So it's to shake off the leaves, right? I'm shaken out like a locust from fold of a garment, simile of perishing helplessly. Okay, the earth that of wicked men, to seize the corners of the earth that wicked men may be shaken out of. So it's to seize the corners of the earth, to shake, to get rid of the wicked men. What are wicked men? Those who aren't a gift from God. They don't know they're a gift from God. They're the soldiers of still got angels as a host body, right? Instead of having, instead of being the sustenance and being dependent upon God, which is to understand that you are the universe is your embodiment, and it's all is provided inside of you, to bring in that into the earth, to bring into the cosmos, to bring life, which is teaching from heaven, to bring order. Okay, so he says, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove all of your possessions. I'm going to take it all from you. I'm going to take everything you depend on, all of your water, all of your bread, all of your everything, that because you're getting your provision from the external, it's saying, right? You're drinking from the external, provisions from the external, and you're getting all of your, and you're relying on prophets, and you're relying on astrologers, and you're relying on people praying for you, all of this stuff. He's going to take the whole thing, and then he's going to go, and the ones that were scattered, the youth that have been scattered, that haven't been fed properly, they haven't been given the heavens teaching. It's true, we'll get to it. He's gonna make them rulers over. He's gonna put the youth in charge. That's what it says. And the youth there are those who are attendants to the Spirit. They attend to the Spirit. They attend to the needs of the Spirit. The Spirit tells them, they're attentive to the Spirit, right? And they serve the Spirit. Hello. That's what an attendant does. It ministers the Spirit, ministers the drink, ministers the Spirit, ministers the bread and the wine. So they're servants, right? And he's gonna make them children, princes, and babes, and he's gonna cause them those who are scattered. He's gonna make them the officials, the rulers, and children will rule over them. That's what it says. Children are going to rule over them. Babes, it calls them. What is that? Wantonness or caprice. Capricious children are going to rule over them. Capricious children is their wanton dealing that inflicted on them. So like a tyrant. And the word there, it comes from the root word alal, and it means to act severely, right? To act severely. And it's to deal with or to do a thing, which is to drink and to beat and to give a second time. So it's to divert and to occupy oneself with food. Act severely. Which is like in punishment. And it gives them pain. Or severely dealt out to me. My pain, which is severely dealt out to me. Yeah. Yeah, it's like smoting them. Its ruler is acting the child, right, my people? So all right. So then Isaiah 3:5 says, and people will oppress each other, man against man, neighbor against neighbor. The young will rise up against the old, and nobody against the honored. The nobodies will be against the honored, or vulgar people will sneer at the honorable. Okay. And it's the press, yeah. So it's like the people will be like pressed, or they'll be pressed from the wine press, really. They'll be pressed from either side, feeling like it's oppression, but it's the, and then it'll be like, it'd be neighbor against neighbor, and, oh, wait, yeah, and then it's got the insolent, which is the yaharbu, to act stormily, boisterously, and arrogantly, okay? It'd be trembling, it'd be frightening. It'll confuse, it's going to disturb. They'll be overcome. Yeah. By these boisterous and capricious children that have been made to go rule. Because listen to this, where it says Isaiah, wait, where he says, I'm going to put him in charge. Listen to what it says. He says in wait, I'm going to take everything away, and then is it Isaiah 3:3? Isaiah 3:4. And then I'm going to cause the children to rule like princes over them, right? So I'm going to cause the children to rule over. So he's going to give the, like the youth, he's going to gather the scattered youth who got scattered because they weren't fed properly. And then he's going to cause them to rule over. And then it says to have dominion or reign over, or to have authority over. That's what it means to have authority over them. Over human subjects, right? Over them, which means bam. And I will give, wait. And I will put them, and I'll add to them, I'll set them up. But somewhere it says that they're not, I'll bestow upon them a blessing. I'll give them strength. I'll deliver you into their hand. All of that is what it says. Okay. And then it says there, yeah, like it'll be like a delusion. Concurrently a tyrant. Capricious children. But it says and you'll be oppressed. Do. And it'll be a weighty burden, kabod, right? That's what he's talking about. So toward the honourable, so the child won't honour, like the child will be the honourable one, like it won't be, the elder won't be the one with the honour, they won't be the one with the weighty burden. The youth will have the weighty burden, they'll have the kabod, right? The kabod, glory. And it says, like, yeah, they're going to be lightly esteemed, or they'll be dishonored, or they'll be inferior because they're going to be ruled over. And it says there somewhere, like, or to set them alight, or to, yeah, because he says that, you know, you're putting these youth in charge, but he's like, and they're like, we're just lads, we're just like, we're not equipped. And he goes, well, you got a coat, that'll do, right? That's what he's saying there. He's like, don't worry about everything else. He goes, but we don't have anything. We don't have what we, you know. And he goes, nah, you got a coat, that's enough. What does that mean? It means that they got the mantle of the Lord. They know who they are. And they know where their help comes from. They know that's all they're dependent on. They're not dependent on anything else. All right? And then a man will seize one of his brothers in his father's house, and he'll say, oh, here it is here. A man's going to seize one of his brothers in his father's house and he's going to say, you have a cloak, you be our leader, take charge of this heap of ruins. But in that day he'll cry out, I don't have a remedy, I've got no food, I've got no clothing in my house. Don't make me the leader of the people. All right? And Jerusalem staggers and Judah's falling. Their words and their deeds, they're against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. The look on their faces testifies against them. They parade their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them. They have brought disaster upon themselves. Tell the righteous it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds. But woe to the wicked, disaster is upon them. They will be paid back for what their hands have done. Youth oppress my people, women rule over them. My people, your guides lead you astray. They turn you from the path. The Lord takes his place in court and he rises to judge the people. The Lord enters into judgment against the elders and the leaders of his people. It is you who have ruined my vineyard. The plunder from the poor is in your houses. He says that the Lord will enter into judgment towards the elders and the leaders of his people, right? Because you've eaten up their vineyard. Eaten up means to consume it, or you've burned it. Well, they've either consumed their anointing and burned them out, right? They've burnt them out, or they've put them on fire, like kindled them as like strange fire. They kindle them, they get them fired up, but then they burn out and they've got to stay on, like they've got to come back. So they're heated with fire rather than... Yeah, they're like a burning kind of... Like, it's like it's for human schemes, okay? That's what it says there. It talks about that in Isaiah 50:11. Like, it talks about that in Ezekiel 21:4. So it's like... And Ezekiel 39:10 says, sending destruction, right? So it's like you've kindled them up, you've set them on fire, but for your purpose, pretty much, like for your human schemes. Rather than, and you've cut them off, you've pruned them from me, from my vineyard. So they're not producing the wine, they're just on fire on the external to do human works. The human schemes. This is what he's saying to the leaders and the elders of the church. So you've got them eaten up. They're consumed with you, or they're consumed with your ministry, and they're consumed with your house, but they're not consumed with the wine. Therefore, their living sustenance, their teaching is not coming from Uranus, from heaven. It's coming from inside the cosmos. Which is, and so they're not being taught of God. Therefore, they don't know they're a gift from God, and they don't know that their lives are bred for to bring life to the world. Their life would be bred, so everything they do, their flesh, their fleshly human incarnated life becomes a living words and living life, brings life to the world. But that's not happening. They're being consumed and burnt up by the leaders and the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, who were pruning them and cutting them off from the Father, so they can be on fire for the human schemes of the ministry of the leaders and the elders of Judah and Jerusalem and he says, so their plunder, you plunder the poor, the plunder of the poor is inside of your houses. The plunder is the gazelle, which is the spoils, right? which is the robbery. So you've stolen from them. You've stolen from the poor. They're afflicted. They're humble. They're needy. They're oppressed. They're wretched, right? They're weak. They're oppressed. And so in that space, that's when, you know, the Lord's close to a contrite and a broken heart, like to it. They in that afflicted place, we give them the vineyard. You give them the wine and you give them the Father. But we're just setting them on fire for human schemes, which is a strange fire, a Band-Aid fix. So we quickly take them out of that poor and weak and dependent condition and make them dependent upon other things. And we need them, we need people in to require sustenance. When you're oppressed and you're weak and you've got nothing, you require sustenance to survive. So you want it, you desire it, you seek it. And so they come there to seek it, and instead of, and you quickly kindle them into your purpose. And it keeps them cut off from the Father because they no longer need, they're so provided for with the external that they're not, they don't, they, and they think that that's it as well. And they're so consumed with it that they think that that's it. And then they work tirelessly and to maintain that fire. So they're working or they're consumed, but it's not humble either. It's not humble, so there's no vineyard. Okay. And they stay poor and weak and afflicted, but they're kindled and they're on fire. So they're trying to keep themselves on fire so they can feel like they are on fire. Yet they're still poor in spirit, weak. They're weak. They're not strong. They're not going forward. They're not taking themselves as a message to the world, to bring life to the world. They're staying inside of these buildings, trying to stay burning. They've got to spend more time in the buildings rather than the world. And when they do go in the world, there's no armor. They're not covered. They're not covered. There's no protection. They're exposed. And they fight against the anointed. All right. And so plunder the houses or the houses of the poor, right? The houses is the bait. Like they're in, like the house is like a jail, right? It can be seen like that. But also, if they don't know that they're in jail, they're not going to want freedom. They're not going to seek freedom. When people don't know that they're not free, if they think they're already free, then they're not going to seek freedom because they believe they're free. So he says, you plunder them, the poor, by consuming them with your own, with burning, like strange fire. Really, you're consuming them. And you're taking the plunder, like, and like saying that you're not in jail, like you're set free. And then kindling them with fire for your own house. So now they think they're free and they're saved, because they're on fire and they're serving in your house. But they're still poor in spirit. They're like, if you pierce their side, no blood and no water is going to come out onto any person of the world. So if no blood and water is coming out when people are judging them with their words, and it's not piercing their spirit, making their spirit release water and wine onto the people that are judging them wrongly, so then they can finally see the people that are judging, they get the water and the blood, and then they can see. And then they're straight away turned into a man, right? Because they've got sustenance on them now. So now they can see and they become a witness that this is the truth. So they're no longer warring against us. That's why it says in Isaiah 3, it says, so the angel of army host, of the, you know, the host of armies, the commander of angel armies, the host, this is like the warring. That's why it's called Uranus, which is heaven. Uranus, Greek mythology, is the god of war. Okay, so he has to come as a god of war because when the spirit pours out of our side, when their words, when they judge us with their sword, which is their spear, well, we've got the sword of the spirit. Our words are gonna pierce us. They're gonna speak words into us, and it's gonna pierce the side of our body. And it's going to immediately extract water and blood from us. And it's going to pour on them, and they're not going to judge anymore. So they're not going to be at war against us anymore. They're going to see the truth, and they're going to be a witness. So you're populating, and then they're going to be trained. They're in heaven, obviously. They got the sustenance. They got the personification of heaven on them now. But what's happening is where you're plundering the houses of these people, but you're getting them in their afflicted state and then telling them they're free. So now they're not in prison, so now they don't seek freedom. Yet when the words of the persecutors come and pierce them, there's no blood and water's coming out of their side onto them to make them stop, to judge them as wrong. Judge them means like, no, you're wrong, I'm actually God. And then, they get it because the water and the blood makes them see. But they're not getting that, so, which tells us that they're not really free, because if they were free, they would have the blood and the water. Therefore, they're not seeking it because it's strange fire. They're on fire for a house that's not the Father's. There's no desperation. There's no dependence on the on the Spirit of God. It's all provided for, spoiled. Okay? So then Isaiah 3:15 says, so what do you mean? By crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, declares the Lord Almighty. Or he says, what do you mean? He goes, how dare you crush my people? Grinding the faces of the poor into dust. He goes, how dare you crush my people? So, you know, these people are crushed by the word. His people are crushed by the words of the enemies, because they've got no water and blood. The words, when they pierce them, they're not doing any. They're crushing them instead of causing the water and the blood to pour on them, to crush them instead. So he says, elders and leaders, what are you doing? You're crushing. You're getting my people are getting crushed, and grinding the faces of the poor into the dust. They're grinding them all the way down into the dust, right? Demands the Lord. So what he wants to know what's going on. And the Lord says, the women of Zion, they're haughty. They're walking along with outstretched necks. They're flirting with their eyes, and they're strutting along with swaying hips, with ornaments jingling on their ankles. So he's saying the women of Zion, who should be pierced to judge every unrighteous and wicked thing in every corner of the earth. Yet he says, that's not what's happening. My daughters also mean bath. Hello? That's what it means in the Hebrew. Daughters are a bath. What does that mean? It's the water of the Holy Spirit. So a daughter is somebody that washes everyone. They're a bath. They got the water. That's a daughter. But he's saying, my daughters of Zion are haughty. They're high and lofty in a bad sense, right? Because they walk with their necks outstretched. And necks mean their throat. But we look at the word gara because it comes from gara, and it means to cause strife or to engage in strife or stir up strife or provoke strife or mobilize and wage war. So my daughters of Zion are causing, they're waging war, they're mobilizing strife. Why? Because if they were pierced by the words of any person, they should be pierced and blood and water should pour straight out on those words and crush the words, and they'll be turning to man and woman who would see and become a witness to the truth. But that's not happening from the daughters of Zion. The daughters of Zion are haughty, he says. And they only care about the exterior, what's visible. And what comes out of their mouth, but what's coming out of their mouth is not power, right? And it says that they outstretch their neck, so they extend this war, they wage and war, they're causing war because the enemy's words are not doing, are not being judged. So they're like more empowered. And that's been extended and it's going more and more, like it's spreading where it should be decreasing. Because there's more Christians, there's more daughters of Zion now since Isaiah. Therefore, we should have dominion by now. But there's no dominion. Well, there is dominion because we've got enough. But the daughters of Zion, there's plenty, but they're haughty and they're worried about their exterior, their bangles and this and that, and their ornaments and this and that. And because they're worried more about the exterior, staying on fire outside rather than producing the vineyard inside, they're ineffective. And they actually are waging war. Their words are also causing, their words pierce us, and then it's pouring that's causing the blood and the water to pour on them, because their words are ineffective. Because if it's coming on us with the blood and the water, then they're going to get the blood and the water, right? So for a long time, a lot of the daughters in Zion, a lot of the elders and the leaders are operating without blood and water. And for a long time, their words have been able to keep the afflicted and keep them, you know, you should be on fire. Why are you so afflicted? You don't probably get on fire enough. You need to go kindle yourself. You need to get in your purpose more. You need to come and serve more. You need to do this more. And their words are like keeping the afflicted oppressed. But then we come around and they try that on us and they pierce us, and then all of a sudden, boom, judged. Because they're not used to it, because there's that little maturity. There is not that many that's producing the water and the blood once their words come at us, right? So they're not used to it. They're like, what's this? It's like first we've heard of it, first we've seen of it. All right. And then he says, you just go around with your jingling and want to look cling with all your ornaments and strutting your stuff, making yourself look like you're good on the outside, like you're something. And he says, therefore, the Lord will bring sores on the heads of the women of Zion, and the Lord will make their scalps bald. And the Lord will lay bare their secret parts. Or it says, the Lord will then strike with a scab the heads of the daughters of Zion. Right? So he's gonna strike the authority of these daughters of Zion. He's going to strike down the authority of who's over the daughters of Zion. And how's he going to do that? He's going to put youth leader who he's given authority to, those who are children in training, which is what humble, they're humble. Child in training, a little child means you're always a little child, and it means you stay a little child because you're humble, because you're learning from the Lord. You're getting the training and the teaching of heaven inside of you, and it's out of this world. It's not within the cosmos order. It's out of this world teaching. So you got to stay humble with it, for one, to receive it. For two, you got to be very anchored so you don't go AWOL and so you're not manipulated by the cosmos order as well, and manipulated and tempted to be come back into this system. But to stay in your authority from who's inside of you, so yielded, because that's what sustenance means, a yielded believer, faith by faith, step by step, every step of the way we yielded, no matter what it looks like to anyone or anything, that we continue to bring this life-giving word from the heavens and we bring it to bring order into the cosmos, regardless of what the elders and the leaders say, because clearly they're not producing the judgment of every other word. It says that my word's established and that his word is above all words. But that's not what's happening. They're still afflicted. The words are still floating around. It's still like there's this type of, you know. So the word comes to bring order, which is the heavens bringing order, life, okay? So then he's going to strike. Right? Now, what does that mean to strike? He's going to strike because your words are going to strike, and then it's going to cause the blood and the water to pierce out the side and to strike you back, because you're striking us with your words. Because really, you're striking the daughters of Zion with your words. You're like, you know, whatever. There's no life in the words. Really, it's all about strange fire. Get on fire, be kindled, get in here, do the, you know, it's all about works. But there's no sustenance. There's no judgment on the other words of the, and to bring order into the cosmos. So it's ineffective, and all they're doing is creating more war, where we could be warring as an army, but there's like three, because everybody else is doing something else, because that's what they think is Christianity. So he says, I'm going to strike, which means I'm going to attach myself to. That's what strike means. I'm going to attach myself to. I'm going to join myself to the daughters, to the crown of the head, right? And I'm going as their authority. I'm going to join myself to them as their authority, the crown of their head, to their scalp, right? To the top of their head. I'm going to join myself to the top of their head, and I'm going to reveal their secret parts, which means I'm going to hinge myself to them, really. And I'm going to uncover the secret parts, right, which is going to be I'm going to bear or I'm going to unhinge. I'm going to unhinge or I'm going to uncover or I'm going to lay him open or I'm going to empty him out to make him bare. Because I'm going to join myself to them, right? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. I'm going to take all their possessions, going to take everything away. I'm going to join myself. I'm going to strike them, join myself to them, and make myself their authority. And it's going to make them bare, cause them to be naked and emptied of themselves, right? And in that day, I'm going to take away all of their finery, all their jinglies and their crescents, which is the moon. I'm going to take away their crescents, the moon, the Saharon, their ointment, ornaments, their round pendants for their neck, their ornament, round tire like the moon. I'm going to remove that. And their scarves, which is a headband. It's literally a sun, a small glass neck ornament. It's a list of women's finery. It's the netting for the hair. So it's whatever they were, how they were, you know, the nets that they were using to catch all the daughters. Because hair's anointing, right? Power. So I'm going to remove the nets from there and the power and the netting. All the pendants. I'm going to remove the bracelets. I'm going to remove the veil. The headdresses, the ornaments, the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms. I'm going to take it all away. The rings, the nose rings, everything. The festal apparel, which is the robe of the state. I'm going to take away their mantle. Their purses. Right, all their outer garments. I'm going to take it all. Their mirrors, their fine linen, their robes. And instead, so it will be, there's going to be a stench instead of a sweet smell. And the stench is what? Rottenness and decay. Instead of a sweet smell, which is the balsam fragrant spices, sweet perfume. And instead of a sash, there's going to be a rope. And instead of well set sackcloth, there's going to be boldness. Okay, boldness. So what's that? A bald spot. What's that? Shaved. What's that? They're going to be plucked out. And instead of beauty, there's going to be branding, which is what? A burning. He's going to brand them. A branding instead of beauty in judgment on women. Which is cover. And it means to be scorched. To be branded, burnt, scorched. To get them to walk on coal. So they're going to be, they're going to feel that burning themselves, right? That they've put on the daughters of Zion. Okay. Your men, they'll fall by the sword. In war, your mighty men will fall by the sword. And you'll lament, and you'll be desolate, and your gates, whatever, where is that? The gates of Zion will lament and mourn and be destitute, and she'll sit on the ground. And in that day, seven women, they'll take hold of one man, and they're going to say, we'll eat our own food and provide our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name. Take away our disgrace. So then it says that seven women will take hold, or seven souls, they'll take hold of one man, and then they'll eat their own food, which is the bread. They're going to eat their own food, and then they're going to wear their own apparel, right? So their own mantles, similar. If he takes away their reproach. What's that? So they're going to stop trying to wear the mantle of every other person. Stop trying to be or idolize the leaders and the elders. Stop trying to, you know, talk about all the other past, you know, mantles. It's like you've got your own mantle. He says the youth are going to be in charge because they've got a mantle. That's all they need. Don't worry about what you have. Don't worry if you don't have the food. Don't worry if you don't know the Bible. Don't worry if you don't have a message, the preaching. You got a mantle. But take that. Be that. He wants you to be yourself. He wants you to understand you're a gift from God and he's going to sustain you. Every step of the way, sustenance is faith by faith, step by step. Your faith will be increased every step you take, you'll be provided for. Your message will grow. Your words will be given unto you. It doesn't matter. You don't have to sit in the church for 10 years to try to get qualified, to wait to get a platform opportunity to preach, because that's going to be burned down anyway, because this is what the judgment is. So if you're doing that, you're still, and you're not under the judgment right now, you will be. You will be. So you are wasting your time. It's going to be for all people, anyone that doesn't listen. And he says it soon. Everything will be taken away. So you're wasting your time trying to build it up. Isaiah 4:2, it says, and in that day, then they're going to be beautiful branches of Yahweh. See, they're going to eat from each other. They're going to, because their lives are going to be bread for each other. So they'll be able to eat from each other. And that's going to sustain life for each other. They're not trying to get the mantle of this one or that one and look up to them like they're something and trying to be copycats of everything. Like, you know, why are we still talking about everyone from before? Like, we got the accurate outer space and time current heavenly teachings, the personification of Uranus here inside of us. That's not inside and brought into this world. It's current. Right? It's a revelation, and it's coming in through it's not in the cosmos world yet. This is new teaching. It's coming in through those who are going to be authentic and actually be the gift. They're a gift to the life. They're a gift of God, bringing new life to the cosmos, to bring order. Why are they going to try and get a mantle from inside of this cosmos structure, from the people that have already brought their mantle? It's outdated. It's done. Why are we talking about them? Bring something new now. Go get yours. Be in your mantle and bring your teaching in. Bring your words in. Bring your bread in so we can all have new bread. Instead of having five people that's got bread and the rest is all strange fire that causes you to die, doesn't give you life. Just causes you to compete and want to be what they are. It's old wine. All right. Then he says this. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the Lamb will be the pride and the glory of the survivors in Israel. See, he's happy now. See, that's what he wants. He wants you to be yourself. And those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, they'll be called holy. And all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. And the Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment. And he's going to cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Which means judge means to decide. And the spirit of fire is to make them a light, consume them, but it's to make them a burning light, to make their spirits, because he's going to purge them, right, which is going to purge out any other mantles. Because he doesn't want you to have somebody else's mantle. He wants you to have your own. So he's going to cleanse and he's going to wring and wash that and get rid of it. Which is removing the guilt, because you can't measure up to that person. Right? That's what it is. He's going to cleanse it because you're trying to be someone else. So there's guilt that you're not this and you're not that. Right? So there's no blood, no water. So you still got this guilt going on because you got this mantle on you that's old. And then he says that from in her midst, so I'm gonna cause the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire to cleanse her from in her midst. What does that mean? It means the inward part of her. It's inside of her already, her inward feelings. In her midst, I'm going to purge her feelings. I'm going to purge her with the spirit inside of her, the inward part of her body, right? Yes. And the filth is like the drunkard's vomit. iniquity, human excrement. The excrement from humans, the humanness. Meaning the words of the world that have caused you to feel guilty that you're not enough, that you're not a gift from God, and that you've believed the words, because when they've spoken the words, they should have pierced you, and then you should have been, your body should have automatically just released the blood and the water and pierced, strike them straight back, right? But they didn't do it. So then you, instead, because you didn't have the vineyard, because you're on fire on the outside, you had the external, not a vineyard from inside. So now he says, I'm going to attach myself to you. I'm going to attach my spirit to them. I'm going to be the ruler of them. And from in her midst, I'm going to purge her. I'm going to cleanse all that guilt and, you know, stuff off her from the world. And I'm going to make her a light. I've decided, which is the spirit of judgment, I'm going to decide for her. I'm going to decide for her that, because I've joined myself to her. So I've made a decision. I've judged her as righteous. I don't see her as guilty. I don't know why there's words of guilt on her. Where'd they come from? They shouldn't be on her. And because they're on her, now in what I'm going to do is I'm going to join myself to her, so those words of guilt don't have any effect on her. So when those words of guilt, when those people are sending those words to make my daughters feel guilty and condemned, she's going to release water and wine, and it's going to strike back on their words, and they won't do it anymore. And they're going to learn, and then she's going to bring order in. And she's a babe and she doesn't understand nothing, but that's okay, he says. I'm in you now, so it doesn't matter. I'll do the work through you. It's not about you doing, show. It's me doing it through you, right? Because when they're speaking those words of judgment against you, they're literally speaking into the spirit of judgment who has joined himself to you. So they're judging the spirit of judgment himself. And his word's higher, so they get pierced. They get struck down with the correct word. Okay? And that word can't attach to you anymore. Amen. All right. And then it says, the Lord's going to wash away the... Oh, I already read that. 4:5. The Lord then will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over everything, the glory will be a canopy. And it will be a shelter and a shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and a hiding place from the storm and the rain. And I will sing for the one I love a song about this vineyard. My loved one has a vineyard on a fertile hillside. So now it makes you fertile. It makes you productive because you've got provision, you've got sustenance. Now you can produce. Okay? And then he dug it up and he cleared it of stones and he planted it with the choicest vines and he built a watchtower in it and he cut out a wine press as well. And then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. So inside he's saying everything he built. He made it a watchtower. And he's cut out, make it a wine press, so the wine comes out when it's pressed from the neighbours and the oppressors from now on. They press against you and they're going to pierce you to cause wine to pour out upon them, which is going to judge them and make them see. Amen. And then he says, and then he looked for good grapes, but it only yielded bad fruit. So they had bad fruit, right? And then he says, all right, now he's back at the leaders and the elders. He's right, you lot, Jerusalem and the people of Judah, now judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than what I have done? When I looked for good grapes, why did it only give me bad grapes? Why did it give me bitter grapes, okay? So he's saying that their fruit was bitter. Why are they bitter? Bitter. Wild grapes. Stinking and worthless. Yeah, so they got no, they were dead, decayed, corrupt, corpse. not producing any sweetness. They were bitter. He said, so he does it better than what we could have done it. Okay, and then he says, now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I'm going to take away its hedge and it will be destroyed, and I'll break down its wall and it will be trampled. I'll make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there, and I'll command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, the people of Judah, and the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but he saw bloodshed for righteousness, but he heard cries of distress. Woe to you who go house to house and join field to field till there's no space is left and you live alone in the land. The Lord Almighty has declared in my hearing, surely the great houses will become desolate and the fine mansions left without occupants. A 10-acre vineyard will produce only a bath of wine, and a homer of seed will yield only an epath of grain. Woe to those who rise early in the morning to run after their drinks, who stay up late at night till they are inflamed with wine. They have harps and lyres at the banquets, pipes and timbrels and wine, but they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord. They've got no respect for the work of his hands. Or it says there, but they never think about the Lord, or they don't notice what he's doing. And he's going from house to house and the leaders and the elders, they go from house to house, they're adding to their houses, and they're all joining houses and houses. But they don't see what the Lord's actually doing. They got no regard for the Lord, what he's doing out here in the what he's creating inside of the scattered ones who've been scattered. Because they got what does it mean? He strikes them and they get scattered. Exile for lack of understanding, and those of high rank will die of hunger, and the common people will be parched with thirst. Therefore, death expands its jaws, opening wide its mouth. Into it will descend their nobles and masses with all their brawlers and their revelers. Or it says, the grave is licking its lips in anticipation, opening its mouth wide. The great and the lowly and all the drunken mob will be swallowed up. So people will be brought low and everyone humbled, the eyes of the arrogant humbled. Humanity will be destroyed and the people brought down, even the arrogant will lower their eyes in humiliation. But the Lord Almighty will be exalted by his justice, and the holy God will be proved holy by his righteous acts. Or it says, but the Lord of heaven's armies will be exalted by his justice. The holiness of God will be displayed by his righteousness. Or it says, Yahweh will be exalted. And in Yahweh of hosts in judgment, yeah, and shall be consecrated, who is holy in righteousness, right? So they'll be consecrated. Isaiah 5:17 says, and then the sheep will graze as in their own pasture. Lambs will feed among the ruins of the rich. Woe to those who draw sin along with cords of deceit and wickedness as with cart ropes. And he's saying that he's joined himself now to the daughters of Zion by his spirit, right? And he's saying, woe to them who are still going to cart their sin along with them with their cords of deceit. So they've been deceived. They're deceived that they are still, that they're sinners. They're deceived that they're separate. They're deceived about sin, right? And so he goes, woe to those who can't let that go, because it's wickedness. Ropes made of lies who drag wickedness behind them like a cart. So wickedness is falsehoods, which is a lie, that you're not a gift of God and that you aren't the bread of life, like the bread of life. Your life isn't living sustenance for the cosmos. That's the truth, right? And so it's about believing that and letting that go, right? So those who say, let God hurry, let him hasten his work so we may see it, the plan of the Holy One of Israel, let it approach, let it come into view so that we may know. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and they're clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks. Who acquit the guilty for a bribe but deny justice to the innocent. Listen to that. He says, woe to the and sorrow for those who are heroes at drinking wine. So they're heroes at drinking wine and they boast about all the wine that they can hold. Yeah, so they're big drinkers. They can hold all their valiant men. They're big, strong drinkers. But they don't. They take bribes to let the wicked go free. They're not judging the wicked. That's what he's saying. They're not judging the wicked, so they're letting the wicked go free, which punishes the innocent. Because the wicked still are punishing the innocent. Therefore, if you're drinking wine, you're meant to be judging the wicked, so the wicked are dealt with, so they can't harm God's people, God's the daughters of Zion, right? Therefore, as tongues of fire lick up straw and a dry grass sinks down in the flames, so their roots will decay and their flowers will blow away like dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty, and they've spurned the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the Lord's anger burns against his people. His hand is raised and he strikes them down, and the mountains shake. And the dead bodies are like refuse in the streets. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. He lifts up a banner for the distant nations. He whistles for those at the end of the earth. And here they come, swiftly and speedily. Not one of them grows tired or stumbles. Not one slumbers or sleeps. Not a belt is loosened at the waist. Not a sandal strap is broken. Their arrows are sharp, all their bows are stung, their horses' hooves seem like flint, and their chariot wheels are like a whirlwind. Right? So their spirits are like a whirlwind. They take people up into the spirit. Their roar is that of a lion. They roar like young lions, and they growl as they seize their prey, and they carry it off with no one to rescue them. And in that day they will roar over it like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks at the land, there is only darkness and distress. Even the sun will be darkened by clouds. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And King Uzziah there, Uzziah actually means my strength is Yah, but it also means several Israelites. Right? So it's like, so when the words of all the other, because they've mixed wine, right? They've got all these strong drink, they've mixed the wine, they've got words of all the other mantles, right? And so once, and they're looking to, and then they're all comparing, they're not, so they've got all these, like they've got a, that's all killed. Once that's all killed, then the Lord's high and exalted. So now all they listen to is the Lord. They don't listen to other people at all. And they're seated on a throne, and the train of his robe fills their temple, which means his power fills their whole body. And above him were seraphim, each with six wings, both with two. Yep, now covered, and that's it. You can go read it for yourself. And they're all calling to one another, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's what he's saying. So once all the mantles, King Uzziah, all the seven other Israelites who you listen to, whose words you got to be taught by, once all of that is dead in you 100%, then your whole body is going to be filled with what? The power of his mantle, his anointing. And when they pierce you or they strike you, it's going to what? Cover the whole earth with his glory. It's going to pierce out. Amen. Hallelujah. Wonderful times. God bless you guys. Hope this helps. See you later. Bye.